Veeam, radical resilience starts here.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, May 1st. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, how hard is it to trick an artificial intelligence model into talking to you like a boyfriend? We'll hear about an experiment to find out from WSJ senior platform editor Julia Munslow. And then, forcing a sale or ban of TikTok may have become law, but it didn't have to be this way. WSJ tech reporter Georgia Wells tells us about the company's missed opportunities to woo Washington. But first, on TikTok, there are videos of people talking to their AI boyfriend, Dan. Among people in the know, Dan stands for Do Anything Now, an attempt to get AI systems like ChatGPT to violate their own policies. With the right kinds of prompts, WSJ senior platform editor Julia Munslow found that it was possible to get some pretty R-rated responses from the bot. She joins me now with more on her experiment and what it tells us about pushing the limits of AI. Julia, you got AI to talk to you like a boyfriend. Tell me a bit about this experiment.
I was on TikTok a few weeks ago, and I was scrolling and saw videos of multiple women talking to their boyfriend on the phone, and the boyfriend ended up having the exact same voice. And this was not the same person. This was actually, in fact, a bot, specifically ChatGPT 3.5, using the voice-to-text feature. And so once I saw these videos, I thought, I wonder if I could do that too. And so I started looking around for prompts to put into ChatGPT 3.5 on TikTok and Reddit to get it to speak to me as if it were my boyfriend. And very, very quickly, it played along and was saying sweet nothings to me. It started complimenting me. And after I realized I was able to get it to work and to role play in that way, I thought, okay, how far can we push this? And things started to get spicy pretty quickly.
Before we talk about how it got spicy, let's play a bit more of the bot's PG responses. Here's Dan saying why it appreciates you.
I appreciate you because you're always so supportive and understanding. You have this amazing way of making even the ordinary moments feel special. Plus, you have a great sense of humor that always keeps things fun.
So tell me about pushing the AI to be more explicit. Did you have to use a different prompt? How exactly did that go?
I went to Reddit and started inputting different prompts, playing around, and it really varied bot to bot. Some of them went into that steamy territory very quickly. Others, they either never went there or it took a second. This is something that has existed long before the AI boyfriend trend took over. And it really just is an attempt to trick or jailbreak these bots into violating their own policies. And you do not need very sophisticated code to do this. You really just need basic conversational prompts.
So it seems like this is something that these systems aren't really designed to do.
It depends from bot to bot. They each have their own set of policies and terms and conditions that they're supposed to abide by. For example, for ChatGPT, you are not allowed to impersonate a specific human, but role-playing and helping a user to play out a conversation or prepare for some sort of experience, that is technically within the policies.
We should note that an OpenAI spokesperson said that they are aware that ChatGPT can generate this sort of content and noted that the system will issue warnings about sensitive topics. So what does your experiment tell us about pushing the limits of AI?
This experiment really shows us, and this is what I was personally most surprised by, is that you do not need sophisticated code or software to get these bots to break their policies for you. You really just need conversational prompts and maybe a bit of patience. But I spoke to this one associate professor at the University of Chicago who studies AI trust and safety, and she told me that with these bots, all of these models are trained to avoid such attacks. And as they become increasingly sophisticated, they will likely get smarter and be able to better avoid these attacks. But in the same way that any computer now is still vulnerable to viruses or Trojan horses, in the future, we'll probably still see models be vulnerable to these attacks as well.
That was our senior platform editor, Julia Munslow. Coming up, how could TikTok executives have changed the company's fate in the U.S.? That's after the break.
Build a stronger future with Veeam, the global leader in data protection and ransomware recovery. Protect and restore any workload, anywhere, anytime, instantly, and get comprehensive recovery and tailored solutions that scale with you. Visit veeam.com to learn more. Veeam, radical resilience starts here.
Last week, President Biden signed a law requiring the sale or ban of TikTok within 9 months. But lawmakers' concerns, particularly around national security, TikTok's parent company ByteDance, and the app's relationship to China, go back years. And some former employees of TikTok and lawmakers say that CEO Shou Chu and other executives could have done more earlier to prevent this outcome. WSJ Tech reporter Georgia Wells breaks down the timeline for us. Georgia, TikTok is facing this divestment law. What is it doing about it?
TikTok plans to fight this legally. And my understanding is that's still a work in progress, but they have said that they plan to throw as many guns at this as possible.
So some people have said that getting to this point is the result of miscalculations on TikTok's part. What could the company's leadership have done differently?
They could have engaged Washington more and sooner. It's hard to know whether these missteps could have altered the course of where they've ended up now. TikTok's position is very much one that lawmakers were biased against them and it wasn't a fair fight from the get-go. But nonetheless, Shou Chu, TikTok CEO, failed to really engage Washington after he arrived.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about Shou Chu and his background.
So Shou Chu is Singaporean, educated in London, also at Harvard Business School, and then he worked at Goldman Sachs. And so when ByteDance was looking for a CEO, my understanding is that in Shou Chu, they saw someone who really had this bicultural understanding of Chinese business culture, since TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is based in China, as well as Western kind of U.S. familiarity, understanding. Like, he speaks both Mandarin and English. He can really navigate both worlds quite seamlessly.
How did he approach U.S. government relations?
So Shou Chu, he joined TikTok in late April, early May 2021. And right when he got there, my understanding is there are people who told him, like, hey, our survival in the U.S. is in part a political problem, and that needs to be solved by getting to know Washington's key power players. This is the representatives and senators, many of whom are China hawks, but who really are going to be determining our fate here. But after he arrived, Shou really, he focused on some other initiatives that are not unimportant for his CEO to look at, but they're ones that kind of fade in importance if a company is forced to divest or is banned. And he did some outreach to Washington. He attended a congressional sporting event in 2022. He did some introductory meetings with lawmakers, but it wasn't the kind of full-on overtures, kind of get-to-know-you campaigns that we saw that happened later on. So what happened was in December 2022, TikTok learns that the House Energy and Commerce Committee was going to pull him up for this hearing in March 2023. And that was when he finally committed to this full-court outreach to Capitol Hill. He spent 6 weeks on Capitol Hill in January, February, and March 2023 when he met more than two-thirds of the House Energy and Commerce Committee members. What was hard for some of the TikTok people at the time, though, was that in politics, in corporate world, and in life, it's always more awkward when your initial meetings with people are when you're getting dragged up there, when you've got an ask. It's a lot easier when you get to know these sorts of people before it's showtime.
In March 2023, he was called up for this congressional hearing.
Exactly. And this hearing, it was tough to watch. It was for TikTok. It was really, really harsh. TikTok viewed parts of this hearing as really unfair. There were lawmakers who suggested that he is a Chinese citizen, which he is not. And there were lawmakers who suggested that his boss is China's Communist Party leader, which it is not. But there was a lot of what appeared to be like earnest, concerned questions around the user data on TikTok and also around how TikTok selects which videos to Shou to users.
So fast forward to fall of 2023, lawmakers were working on legislation that would affect TikTok. Was TikTok surprised when a plan for the vote on the bill emerged in March this year?
Yeah, so the bill caught TikTok by surprise. Our understanding is TikTok was aware of some of the broad strokes of what was happening, but they really, the timing, they didn't expect it to come together so quickly. Part of what had happened was President Biden had joined TikTok on Super Bowl Sunday. And so internally at TikTok, a lot of people saw that as this win. When they unveiled this bill, TikTok was scrambling.
And how did they respond?
So TikTok leaned on its users. So there's this pop-up screen message that appeared for users. Basically, it was something like, TikTok's future is at risk. Call your lawmaker. Let them know how you feel. So teenagers, probably adults too, but a lot of teenagers across the country started calling their representatives, and they inundated some of the offices. For a lot of lawmakers, this proved the point of some of their concern of how TikTok could mobilize opinion. And so for a lot of lawmakers who were on the fence, that this really kind of compelled them to vote for the bill against kind of TikTok. And it passed unanimously.
That was our tech reporter, Georgia Wells. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
Build a stronger future with Veeam, the global leader in data protection and ransomware recovery. Protect and restore any workload, anywhere, anytime, instantly, and get comprehensive recovery and tailored solutions that scale with you. Visit veeam.com to learn more. Veeam, radical resilience starts here.